talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 112. Got Phoebe here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Phoebe?
It's going pretty good.
So even though we're only about halfway through the summer, I feel like stuff's starting to ramp up.
Oh, we're more than halfway.
What are we, like two-thirds of the way through the summer? For you especially, because...
No, even more so for the boys. The boys start school in exactly 2 weeks.
Ooh. Yeah, I think you're right.
They start school before I do.
I think you're right. We are...
Today's August 1st,
and the dog days of summer.
They start August... Oh, I guess they start August 16th, so not exactly 2 weeks, but basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. It feels like stuff is starting to wind up.
Yes.
We've got... The biggest thing for you personally is countdown to college has begun in earnest.
Yep.
Do you know how long it is?
Well, my move-in day is in 17 days.
From the day we were recording this?
Yeah.
Do you have August a countdown 18th. On your phone or something, or did you just know that?
It's just, today is August 1st.
Oh, there you go. That makes it easy. So it's,
I'm pretty good at basic math, but yeah.
We're recording this on a Wednesday today?
Yeah.
So it'll come out on Saturday, as it always does, hopefully. Unless mm-hmm. something tragic happens between now and the time I post it, upload it to the internet, which should happen either later tonight or maybe tomorrow.
I thought you said something tragic would happen either later tonight or early tomorrow.
Well, you never know.
I don't know what you're planning.
You never know.
Well, that sounded like you were planning for it.
You never know. You can't plan for everything. But the plan is to release this episode on Saturday at midnight or, I don't know, do you think of... midnight is belonging to the day before or the day after? Technically, it belongs to the day after.
I mean,
so it's Friday at midnight, and really, I do it Saturday morning at 12:01 a.m. is when the podcasts post usually. So
I mean,
it's
last night,
the first minute on Saturday.
You know, last night I was up until nearly 4, but I didn't consider it this morning. I considered it last night. But it kind of depends on your circumstance.
Yeah, I always think about that. Like, if I'm up past midnight, I always think of that as the night before.
Yeah.
The only time I might consider it the morning of the next day is if, for some reason, I'm up so late that the sky starts to get bright.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have
strong... Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Have you stayed up so late that you start to see the sunrise?
I don't have strong feelings about it, honestly. Do you know what I was doing last night?
What's that?
Until 4? I was working on my t-shirt quilt. Do you
t-shirt
know I'm making
quilt.
A t-shirt quilt?
I did not know you were making a t-shirt quilt.
So I have lots
quilts
of
are kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and I think mine's going to be turn out really badly because I have few sewing skills, so I feel like the lines are not going to be very straight and all that. But I do have it, like, I've made some progress on it. I have everything, I have most of it, like, everything's cut except one shirt that my friend had apparently... had at her house for like a year and had been looking for it and I just found out, so I'm putting that one in there. But other than that, everything's cut, and then most of it is like, what's the word for it, pinned together, so I just need to sew it.
Yeah,
which is easier said than done. But it's gonna be pretty big. I'm thinking like a picnic blanket.
And how late were you up doing this?
Till like 3:40.
I think it was when I was in college that I first experienced the whole staying up so late that the sun starts to come up.
Yeah, I don't do that a lot. For one thing, last summer I stayed up really late a lot. But I kind of haven't been doing... And then I would wake up at like... I would sleep from like 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock, like generally. There's a picture of my t-shirt quilt.
Oh, this is cool.
Or it's not pinned together yet in that picture. It's just all laid out.
That's
I had to clear
cool.
out a huge spot on my floor to do
so
it.
So you're getting rid of all these t-shirts? They will just be a...
Well, yeah, because they're already cut.
Oh, you cut
so,
them?
Yeah, they're cut into
so
squares.
So none of these are t-shirts anymore? Because some of these seem like t-shirts that you would like to have. But
I mean, because...
Hey.
Well, I kept a couple school ones, but really, I don't really... Like, I'm not probably going to wear, like, high school t-shirts to college. Because I feel like that's not, like... For one thing, no one even knows where my high school is. And, like... you know, I'm just probably not going to do a lot of that. And, but I am going to need blankets. So I feel like it's more useful.
Is this going to get done before you leave?
Yes.
Does mom
I'm
know
pretty
about-
committed to it. Yeah, she does.
Mom knows about this.
Mm-hmm. It's all like, I really just need to sew it, but I don't think it'll take like super, I think I can finish it.
I think it's, yeah, I believe you can do it, but I also think they're more difficult than you know.
No, I know it'll be pretty difficult, but for one thing, I'm going to make mom help me.
Yeah. I assume.
Plus, I've watched a YouTube tutorial, so like.
So you're an expert.
I got it down.
You're an expert.
But it should be, I mean, the thing is, I have sewed things before. Which of the, by the way, which of these shirts are the ones you think I would wear? Because I'm looking at it.
Well, there's an Oh Wonder t-shirt there.
Yeah, I got that t-shirt. I never really wore it. I like it. I like the t-shirt in and of itself, but mm-hmm. I don't like wearing it. It's like kind of see-through. Mm. And like it's got like the big print on the back that's all like, I don't know what that material, what do you even call that? Like the vinyl. And then it's like, I just don't like wearing it, but I'm happy I got it. Because it's a nice like keepsake, but I never wear it.
Yeah. I've got some shirts like that. There's like, I don't know, some
you
t-shirts
make
that
a good
I've kept
t-shirt
around.
Quilt. Mom can make a good t-shirt quilt.
Some t-shirts just feel really good on you and others just don't. And so you never wear them because they don't quite feel
right.
It's
not very, it's not super cute either. Like it's like big enough that I would want to wear it with leggings, but then since it's like kind of sheer-ish, like if I was wearing black leggings, the black leggings would show through underneath and look weird.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a problem. I wouldn't wear it with jeans, but it doesn't really look good with, so I don't wear it, but it looks really good in the quilt actually, cause it's all colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So yeah, I just need to sew it. And I figure I have sewed things before. I kind of need a little help, like remembering how to start out and do it, but I can pretty much sew. And even though this is going to be a lot of sewing, it's mostly straight lines.
True.
Which I feel like, I mean, if you're just sewing straight lines, I feel like, and like small
but
sections.
But you're sewing lots of pieces together. That's the difficulty,
yeah.
I think.
But I mean, I'm starting out just row by row.
So you'd have
I've got
to like
all the rows pinned
pin
together.
Pin everything. Oh, you already have them pinned together?
Yeah. Well, all the columns. So all the columns, the up and down columns are pinned together.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to pin those. I'll have to sew those together, which will be a little bit trickier.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to sew a backing fabric on and then turn it inside out and stuff. But, I think I'll be able to finish it.
That'd
I have
good.
Faith in myself. And it'll be a good thing to take to college. A nice, warm, like, cute. It'll be really good for, like, picnics or, like, stuff like that. Because it will be nice and large. Didn't we have, I don't know what happened to it. Didn't we have, like, a giant quilt made out of jeans that, like, one of your ex-girlfriends made?
I was thinking of that as you were talking about your
it
t-shirt.
It was a nice quilt.
We used to have this really nice quilt that was made of old jeans. It was, like, squares from jeans.
Like, pockets and stuff,
too. And a girlfriend gave it to me.
That's a lot of work.
I'm not exactly sure which girlfriend it was.
Oh, that's
because
terrible.
It was a long time ago.
That's so. Was it in high school?
Before your mother. It may have been college. It was either high school or college.
It's kind of really
it was
sad
not
that you don't
middle
know.
School. It was not elementary school. I know that.
Well, yeah. That's a lot of work because I remember it and it was a nice quilt.
I think I know who it was, but I'm not positive.
She's not going to say your name
really
on the
nice
podcast.
Quilt, and it. No, I definitely won't. Even if I did know, I wouldn't say it on the podcast.
Yeah, but
it was a really nice quilt, and I liked it a lot because it was really good for like picnics.
Oh
and
yeah,
stuff.
And we totally used it.
We took it to like a friend's house because like their band was playing in the backyard, and it disappeared. I swear, someone at the party like stole it. Went, hey,
no,
cool
I totally
blanket.
Know what you're talking about too. The day
and we came home, we
that's
were like,
so
what
sad.
Happened to it? And we asked about it, and no one could seem to know where.
That's so sad because we used that for years and years. But I remember
it was really sturdy and nice.
I remember going to the Dallas Arboretum. I'm pretty sure it was the Dallas Arboretum with mom when I was pretty little. I want to say like maybe like 10 at the oldest. It might not have been the Arboretum either. I might have some false memories going on because I know we took it there at one point, but like, the other mom that was there was like, this is such a nice quilt. Where'd you get it? And then mom was like, oh, it was Greg's ex-girlfriend gave it to him. And then mom was like, really? And you still have it? And she's like, it's a really nice quilt.
It was
and
a
it
nice
was.
Quilt.
That probably seriously took hours and hours of work. Like,
yeah.
That poor woman.
I remember whoever it was saying that, like, her mom has made several of these. And
oh, yeah.
So,
that looks like it would have taken
a
long time,
though. It was an
excellent
gift.
But yeah, we used... I wonder how that person would feel if she knew that we... She would probably be happy, right? Unless she was like a crazy
ex-girlfriend. I don't know. I have a feeling... I don't know. Like in my mind, maybe this is not true. In my mind, all my ex-girlfriends hate me.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true.
That might not be true. I bet it's not.
It might not be true, but I believe it to be true.
But I wonder if they'd be like, oh, he used it for a picnic with his four children.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a funny... I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was like, oh, what happened to that quilt? It was a great quilt.
Yeah.
And we got... Like, we used it all the time. Because it was really good. It was, like, very sturdy and very, like... But it was cute, too. It had... I liked it because it had pockets in it. I don't know if that's, like, weird. I liked that some of the squares had pockets in it. I remember that it...
Like back pockets. Like the back of a...
Yeah, like the back pockets. Like so the, it was cool because you could, like, stick your... Yeah. You could, like, stick your hands in the quilt.
For some reason, I was thinking front pockets. I was like, no, I don't remember that. But, yeah, back pockets.
Back pockets.
I think there were a few.
I liked that about it.
I forgot that about that.
I don't know why I just thought it was cool because you could, like... Put things in the little pocket in the quilt. And I would like stick stuff in there sometimes. Yeah. So yeah, it was a good quilt.
Yeah.
Shout out to your ex-girlfriend.
So as we were talking about staying up late, I remembered that like college was the first time I had ever stayed up so late that the sun started coming up. But I also remember like, I think most of the times I did it in college, it was with your mom. It's like after I started dating your mom. And we would just talk and talk.
That's
and talk
nice.
And, talk, and then the sun would come up. But I remember there's something really weird about staying up so late that it becomes the next morning. Like the comedian Larry Miller used to call like the morning sun like God's flashlight. Like looking down at you like, hey, what are you doing there? Because there's sort of this feeling of, I don't know, shame.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
I should have slept.
I've only had pulled a few all-nighters. One of them was to do a full Harry Potter marathon.
Yeah.
Which is with one of my friends the summer before high school. We were like, it was my best friend at the time. And we were like, we really got to do, like, I feel like you should do that at least once in your life. If you're really into Harry Potter, watch all the movies back to back. And we had a bunch of snacks and we basically didn't come out for like, it's like almost 24 hours back to back for all of those. And towards the end, we were really, like, not conscious at all. Like, we were trying not to fall asleep because we really wanted to make it through, but we were not paying attention, like, whatsoever. But
yeah, it's kind of tough when there's that much movie to watch.
Well, and, like, we were really talking through them. Like, we'd seen them before, and we weren't really, like...
Right.
But we really just wanted to do it, just to do it. But it's about 20 hours back-to-back for all of them.
So I read all the books. I assume you read all the books, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you read them more than once? I remember Elizabeth used to reread
them. I'm not a big rereader.
I think Elizabeth read them all like probably five times.
I'm not a big rereader, but I would go back and read parts of them. And I've read the first book more than once.
Yeah. So I read all the books, but I think at some point I sort of gave up on the movies.
Have you not watched all the movies?
I haven't watched.
The last
I'm not
ones
sure
are
I've
pretty
watched
good.
The last two. Like, because the last book they broke into two. And I don't think I've watched either one of them.
I would watch that with you. I've watched the movies multiple times each.
I think, like...
I don't even like rewatching movies, but it just, like, I would be over... I had a lot of friends who would really want to watch those for, like, movie nights or whatever, so we'd watch them.
And it's not that the movies were bad. I think they were pretty good. They were well made. It's just that, I don't know, because I already knew what the story was, it was kind of like, I didn't feel the need
to watch it.
And
the last movie's kind of... I mean, it's really just a downer. Like,
well, the last book is kind of a downer.
The last book is a downer.
I mean, of course, like, I read it like right when it came out.
It's awesome.
But
I feel like the movie, it's almost...
The story's a little weird, though, because, like, as I recall, it doesn't really... Hardly any of it takes place in Hogwarts. It sort of goes off the formula, and it's sort of dark.
I've watched it again.
A lot of people die.
I've watched it multiple times because I had some friends earlier in high school that would really want to. They wanted to make our way through them, so for movie nights we would always watch those. And it really, like, especially knowing the plot, you get so frustrated because you're like, man, Ron, stop being jealous of Harry, man. That Horcrux, man. Like, you know what's happening. It's just frustrating because you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I do like the books better. Like, I don't know. It's just really dark and it really kind of gets to you. I mean, it's good though, but yeah, it's not one that I want to rewatch as many times as I have, maybe. I've seen all of them a lot though.
Yeah, apparently it was Harry Potter's birthday the other day.
It was. Yesterday.
And Allison, your mom, had book club over at our house, and because it was Harry Potter's birthday and it was book club on the same day, she served butterbeer and pumpkin juice to the book club ladies. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because Harry Potter, I think, is really big with kids that were kids when they were when Harry Potter came out, and with like parents who had kids when the books came out.
I wasn't like, I'm definitely on the younger end of kids who were kids when the books came out. That's definitely like the millennial generation, and I'm on the younger end of that. I was 7 when the 7th book came out, because I remember I went to the 7th book release party, and that's when I had just finished the first book. I finished
like
all the books.
That's the right age, though.
Yeah, I finished all the books, I want to say the summer before 3rd grade. So I read them all when I was like 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked them.
Pretty young, but it's not
unheard
of.
Well, okay, when I was little... You know this, but I read a lot, and I was also very mature. So I read a lot of stuff that was maybe a little bit like, not just at a high, like a little more mature and a little bit at a higher level. I was very, like, I feel like maturity wise, I peaked early and just kept going downhill from there. That's kind of a joke, but also not completely. I don't know if you would agree with that, Dad. I kind of was like a really mature little kid, like very kind of serious and
kind
like,
of, yeah. I mean,
not serious,
to the extent
but
that a 7-year-old can be mature.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, it was just downhill from there because now I'm just a mess. But
I think because you always hung out with Elizabeth, and when you have an older sibling,
yeah,
that's like 3 years older than you.
I was talking about this with my friend today because I was at my friend's house and we were hanging out with her and her 11-year-old sister, and I was saying she's about to go into 6th grade, but she seems like a sophomore in high school. Like, she seems just very much older than she is.
Yeah, older siblings.
Maybe like a freshman.
A pretty strong influence on kids.
Yeah, but
up.
She seems, because I was saying she seems way older than Henry. And that's partly just like a boy girl thing, but like, Henry's like, he's not immature, but he definitely seems like a kid. And
he's small for his age.
And he seems like, he acts like a kid, and like in a good way.
But, although Henry can surprise you sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he can. But she very much acts like a teenager and is really sweet. But like, but yeah, I definitely matured like kind of with Elizabeth. Like, she always seemed like maybe a little bit younger, not in a bad way, but just that's just kind of how she was. And then I was always like a little bit.
Yeah. But I don't think either one of the boys have read all the Harry Potter books.
That's crazy to me.
Because they're just a little bit young for.
That was such a big part. Actually,
for the whole cultural experience, you know.
Elizabeth read parts of the first book to me when I was like 4 or 5. I want to say like before I was in school, she would read parts of the first book aloud to me because she was obsessed with them.
Yeah,
and we had the box set of the first 3 movies, and I think I realized I must have been. I think I was at the oldest 4. I might have been like 3 because it was when the 3rd movie had just come out, and we would watch them sometimes, or like Elizabeth would watch them. I was so scared of them.
And the first 3 movies, though, are PG. It's like the 4th one starts to get a little darker. I think it's PG-13.
The 3rd is still a little dark for like a 3-year-old.
Perhaps, yeah.
Or a 4. I was probably like 4.
There's like dark wizards and stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty scared of... Well, I was... This is how young I was. I was afraid of Professor Snape because his name sounded like snake. And somehow I got in my head that he was a snake and I was afraid of snakes.
There was a big snake in
the
second
one,
too.
So I was afraid of Professor Snape.
There was a big snake in the second one, too.
Yeah, I think that's what was going on. I was pretty terrified, though. I remember, like, having nightmares about... Like, I really just had it... I didn't really know what was going on because I was just really, really, really little.
Yeah.
But I definitely grew up with those first couple movies. Like, those were a big part of my childhood. So, yeah, it's definitely kind of like a millennial thing, I think.
So, a couple other things are going on. This weekend, Mom and Dad are celebrating our 24th. I started to say 24th and then said 21st and it came out 21st. 24th anniversary.
Yay.
We are leaving town.
Yay.
Going to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I've never been to Hot Springs before, but we were just kind of looking for a destination. We wanted to do something to celebrate that we could do in a weekend that isn't too far away and that would be a little bit cooler than it has been here.
Are you happy that you can now, like, leave your kids for a weekend and not have to worry about it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, we might still worry a little bit, but yeah. I know that you can drive and you can take care of the boys, and we'll leave you with a little bit of money and some food, and hopefully that'll work out well. I don't know what the... Let's ask Alexa. Alexa, what's the 24th anniversary?
Here's something I found on reference.com. The 24th fourth wedding anniversary is traditionally called the musical instrument anniversary.
Hmm.
Did that answer your question?
Yes.
The musical instrument anniversary. So I guess I'm going to be buying your mom like a kazoo or something.
You should. Please do that.
You know, they have like these traditional and modern versions. Like for each anniversary, it's like, I don't know, the first one's like paper or something. And then it goes up to like, you know, diamond anniversary. But apparently the musical instrument anniversary, that's pretty funny. Like a kazoo or a, you know, ukulele. Maybe a harmonica.
It's funny because you're the only people in the family that don't actually play musical instruments.
I know, it's true. It's true. That's such an odd anniversary. I wonder if that's the traditional one or just a modern one someone came up with. Yeah, so I've never been to Hot Springs before. It's about a four-hour drive from us, maybe even 4.5 hours. It actually looks kind of nice, though. I never even thought about going to Hot Springs until we were looking for a place to go.
There's all sorts of cute little towns if you look for them, I feel like.
Yeah. It's got a lot of kind of older, like, bed and breakfasts. And it's known for the hot springs, and they have, like, these old bathhouses.
Mm, that's cool.
With, like, hot water. And it's actually a national park. And then there's kind of a historic old part of town. And
that's cool.
It's kind
Arkansas
of got
is
some
pretty.
Small mountains and stuff.
And we went camping last year in Arkansas for our church. Mm-hmm. Really pretty.
Yeah.
So,
did you see what Mom posted to the family chat?
Yeah, she also told me about the vulture.
Yeah, there was a big vulture in our back alley this morning.
Not a fan, gotta say.
Big old black vulture. I noticed when I pulled out to go to work that there was a deceased rabbit in the middle of the alley.
Which isn't that uncommon in our neighborhood.
An ex-rabbit. But I guess when Mom pulled out, she saw a big old black vulture just perched on our neighbor's fence, waiting for her to drive past. So it could come up and feast on the rabbit.
That's so nasty.
Yeah.
Is this really the content that our podcast listeners want?
Well, I think, you know, we have to update them on the wildlife in our neighborhood because this is a running theme.
It's kind of crazy, yeah. So now we have not only bobcats that are hopping on top of the fence to eat small animals, but also vultures, which makes me fairly worried about leaving Maisie alone in the backyard.
Yeah,
but
so
we do have a Maisie update.
I don't, vultures won't go after something that's alive because they are scavengers. Mom posted the picture that says this cat, the picture of the vulture with this caption: "Guys, we have a vulture hanging out behind our house. He was politely waiting for me to get out of the alley so he could continue to munch on a dead rabbit." And I liked William's comment. William said, "Vultures are kind members of our society. Whenever a very rude animal decides to die on a sidewalk, vultures clean up after their mess."
Ew.
That made me laugh.
It just made me go, ew.
Ew.
Seriously?
That is so gross.
It is gross, but it's pretty exciting, too.
Vultures, not really excited about it.
It's not a good omen to see a vulture around your house.
No, it's not. Well, I haven't seen one, so I'm good.
Yeah.
Such a good drop every time. So today is Maisie's birthday.
Congratulations,
it's not
Maisie.
Actually, Maisie's birthday. We know her birthday is in August, but I don't think we really know what day. So we're celebrating August 1st, which today was kind of a good day to do it because, you know, I had the morning free and it was super nice weather outside, so I could go take her for a walk and stuff. It's been like we've had like
it
kind of a weird
cooled down. Yeah,
yeah, like a weird cold snap.
We had really, really hot weather the last couple of weeks, but this week it's
and
cool to us is
like the
hot
80s.
In other places. Like if it only just barely gets up to 90, we're like, wow, this is wonderful.
Well, even in the morning it said it was like 75.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like we have that weather
so
in
nice.
February sometimes.
Yeah.
Not saying it's super common, but it happens. Like anyway, so it was super nice weather. So we kind of celebrated her birthday. I did actually take some footage, and I'm thinking about uploading a little, like, Maisie update vlog, maybe?
So Maisie turned 2, is that right?
Yes, she is 2 years old.
2 years old in human years.
Yes.
Enters her terrible 2s.
Oh,
I don't think
she's
that applies
entering
to
her wonderful 2s.
Her wonderful 2s.
We love her.
I always, for the kids, I always thought the 2-year-olds were actually pretty good. It was 3-year-olds that were more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
because 3-year-olds start to figure stuff out. 2-year-olds are usually pretty pleasant.
Yeah, in my experience. I kind of agree with that. I have been around many children, and I kind of think that's, yeah.
You got her some presents for her birthday.
I did. I got her a little shirt. Petco had a little birthday section. There's a little shirt with a little cupcake on it. It's pretty cute that she is wearing right now. And then a little squeak. It's like a spiky pink, kind of like a football squeak toy type thing. Very squeaky.
Yep. She loves that.
And then
she
a little,
has difficulty picking it up with her mouth, but she still loves it. Yeah, she loves it so much.
And she needs more because she goes through chew toys pretty fast. And then a little, they also had, by it kind of matches the shirt, like a little cupcake, little plush chew toy thing that I'm sure she'll destroy pretty fast.
Yeah, the cupcake I had to take away from her earlier today because she was tearing the stuffing out of it.
Oh, really? Did she already get it?
It's up here on the kitchen counter.
Oh, I only gave that to her like maybe 2 hours ago.
She had already started pulling stuffing out of it.
I gave
that
to her.
It's not totally destroyed, but it will be soon.
Like 7:30, and it is like 9.
Yeah, and I took it away from her like 8. So.
Yeah, she pretty much.
She was going after it. I took it away from her, and I looked at her, and she had like a piece of fuzz sticking out of
her mouth. No, I knew she would rip that up pretty fast. But you know, sometimes you just got to give dogs things they can rip up, I guess. And it was cute, and it matched her little shirt. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did some fun stuff today. Like I said, I'm thinking about maybe posting a video to the Talk to Dad podcast YouTube channel. A little Maisie update. Because I took some videos of her this morning. But I woke up and I took her on a walk. Even though I could have slept in and I stayed up super late. But I woke up to take Maisie on a walk because that's important.
It's a good thing to do.
Because it was good weather and she hasn't had a real walk really all summer. I tried to once.
It's really nice walking in the morning too because the light is just, you get that morning light.
It was like 9:30, so it wasn't like morning.
Yeah, but still, it's like, you know, it's not as harsh as like when you get toward noon and the sun's just sort of beating down on you.
It was, it was fairly warm, but it was okay. So we took her on a walk. Actually, Mom and the boys went with me too because they all wanted to go. Went on a walk with her, and then I convinced Mom to take me to Starbucks so I could get her a puppuccino for breakfast.
I didn't realize this was a thing until you told me about them.
Yeah, well, she's had them before.
Puppuccinos. Yeah, puppuccinos. But I know she has. I had never heard of them before you told me about them.
Yeah. What it is, it's just they take a kid's cup, like a little, their smallest cup, and they put whipped cream in it, and dogs love them.
And it's just whipped cream?
Yep. A little cup of whipped cream. It's really funny with Maisie because she has a very short snout.
Because she's a Boston.
Yeah, so she can't reach the bottom, so she sticks like, I mean, like up to her eyes, like her whole face in there. And she can fit. I mean,
sticks her tongue out as far as it'll go.
And yeah, it's always funny because there's just a tiny bit at the bottom, like a pretty even layer that she just can't reach. Like that's just impossible for her to get to. But she loves them. So I got her puppuccino for breakfast because it's what she deserves. And then on our way back, we stopped by. We actually saw some of our neighbors who really love Maisie, two little kids that I used to babysit a lot for. They really like her. So we stopped. I saw them and I was like, we kind of stopped by and because they were in their yard and said hi. And they really like to see her. And she was actually pretty sweet with them.
That's good.
She's a lot more gentle than she used to be. She doesn't nip or try to nip at people anymore.
Did she try to get off her leash at all?
She wasn't on her. No, she didn't. She didn't successfully get off her leash. I don't know whether she was kind of trying to or not.
Yeah.
But she was, I mean, she's not great on a leash. She kind of goes all over the place, but she did okay. Honestly, I think she did best when I was walking her, but maybe I'm just biased. I don't know. But, she said hi to some neighbor friends. We went back, we played fetch. We had a good time. She did throw up a little bit of her puppuccino. I don't think it's because she can't have puppuccinos because she's had them before. It's just whipped cream. But I think it was just that she like had a bunch at once and then was like running around and stuff. And
got overexcited.
Yeah. Although she hasn't eaten her food in the last like couple days. So I'm kind of wondering if she's getting sick.
She eats it. If she's convinced that she's not going to eat anything else, she'll eat it.
Yeah, it might just be there's too much other good stuff going on. But yeah.
I usually have to fill it usually once a day. So I just keep food in it. And it does disappear eventually. Yeah. And I assume it's her eating it.
She has food in her bowl right now?
Because I don't think the rest of us would.
No. But
there's some food there, but it's not as much as when I first filled it.
Yeah, I guess. I think she's fine, but she's been having a good time. She likes her new toys. She's a good girl.
She is a good girl.
We might post a picture. I do have a video that I'm working on editing. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
So happy birthday, Maisie. You can look for that on our, I think we have a Talk to Dad YouTube
channel.
We do,
we do.
A specific Talk to Dad.
We've only put like one video on it.
There's
it's
only
like
a couple
little
things
ad.
There, like some little promos.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just look for Talk to Dad on YouTube, it might just show up.
I think I'll have it ready by the time this is released. I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah. All right, let's do some news.
So it's like a little extra.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right, I've got a story about a test. A test that's being conducted right now. Guess where it's being conducted?
Where?
The town of Frisco, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought about guessing that, but I thought, no.
A company called, what is the name of this company? Drive.ai is testing self-driving cars right here in Frisco, Texas.
You know, I feel like car test type things are done here, like in the Dallas area.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a test market because it's got, you know, a cross section of lots of different types of people living in this area.
Flying Ubers they were going to test here.
It's not the first company to test self-driving cars, but these driving cars are a little bit different from others. They're bright orange, and they have a bright blue stripe down the middle of them that says self-driving vehicle. And the other thing that makes them strange, so they're Nissan, repurposed Nissan minivans.
Okay.
And the other thing that makes them strange is they've got these LED lights, LED signs on each side and on the top and on the front of the car. And the LED signs have little messages. These screens are meant to, what do they call it? They call it to create human-robot interactions or human-machine interface. It's intended to replace the gestures or verbal communication often used by human drivers to communicate their intentions. So there's a picture here in the article that's, you know, it's stopped at a crosswalk and there's a sign that says waiting for you to cross.
So the equivalent of like waving someone across.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so people, and the idea is that they want to make people really comfortable with these vehicles. Right now they do have human drivers sitting in the driver's seat. So the human driver can step in and correct them if something goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is they want to make people very comfortable with these vehicles. They're going to be used for ride hailing. So you could call up a self-driving car and it will take you to where you want to go.
That's cool.
The company is going to test these, and they say right now there's a driver sitting in the driver's seat, but somewhere down the road, no pun intended, they're going to have the driver move to the passenger seat and be just a chaperone. And then eventually, by the end of the year, they want to have these cars driving around by themselves as autonomous vehicles.
It's a little creepy.
It is a little creepy. What do you think about self-driving cars? Do you have any thoughts?
You know, I know that logically, I shouldn't be like scared of them. Because I know that, you know, they're probably making them very safe. And that really, robots are much safer than humans, I feel like. Because like, humans crash all the time.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's such a complicated thing, though, like all of the interactions that can happen on a road.
Because, like, you know that to put a self-driving car in the road, they probably have to pass all sorts of tests and, like, crazy stuff. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And humans, it's easier to get on the road. Like me. should not have been let be on the road. I'm sure these self-driving cars have passed much more testing than I had to do to get my license. So, like, I know that logically I shouldn't feel, but it still freaks me out. That's the thing.
Yeah, it says the vehicles each have 10 cameras, 4 LiDAR. What's LiDAR? Do you know what LiDAR is?
Guessing, like, radar? Like a motion sensor, maybe?
Yeah, something kind of like that. It seems like I've heard of it before, but it's a detection system that works on the principle of radar, but uses light from a laser. Oh, so it's like laser radar.
That's what I would have guessed.
LiDAR and a radar system and an AI brain, perception, motion planning, decision making, and the mobile app are all developed by the company. And the cars can also be operated remotely with a triple redundancy cellular modem connection.
Huh.
kind of interesting. The article mentions that, of course, this isn't the first company to try self-driving cars. Lyft and Uber are both testing self-driving cars. The public trust of self-driving cars dropped in March when Uber had a fatal crash in Arizona.
That's scary.
But Uber is about to roll out. They're about to start using them again, despite
the fatal
crash.
What went wrong with it? Do you know?
I don't remember. I think it was, some sort of a glitch. And it plowed into somebody.
Yep. See?
Yeah. And it just takes one of those. Yeah, I mean, people crash their cars all the time. But
yeah, that's
computer
the thing.
Crashes their cars, and it's really creepy.
Yeah, there's something, like, unnerving about it.
Yeah. There's also a company called Waymo that is testing self-driving cars. I do wonder if, you know, this isn't really the future. And one day it'll be like people just won't even learn to drive cars. Because it feels like to me, if it was only self-driving cars out there, it would be really safe.
Yeah.
But the mixture of humans and
that's
self-driving
the thing.
Cars
yeah, that's what I was thinking
is just
about is how
kind
does
of chaotic.
It, like, would they be good if a person just swerved and tried to hit it? Like,
yeah,
but if
I
it was
know.
All self-driving cars, I really do think that's probably safer.
Yeah.
Especially if when you get to the point where you can get past, you know, glitches and stuff. Because we use all sorts of things in our house that I'm sure when they were first made were pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I think the technology is just going to get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, because we use stuff all the time. I mean, cars themselves were probably pretty dangerous when they first came out.
And they still are, really. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
But mostly because of humans now, not because of the technology.
But they've gotten a lot safer. Like
the
safety technology has gotten
airplanes.
So much better.
I think of airplanes as like, they freak people out still, but they're pretty safe.
Yeah.
Like, airplane crashes basically, like, pretty much never happen.
Yeah,
they do happen.
There was a crash in Mexico. Did you hear about this?
No.
It's a crash in Mexico, I think, yesterday. A plane crashed after takeoff, but nobody was killed.
Oh, that's good.
There were several injuries, but no one was killed.
That's good. But, no, like, airplane crashes... Airplanes, it sounds
freaky. They don't actually happen that
often,
yeah.
But, yeah, they really are... Driving a car... It's generally more dangerous, like, on average. You're more likely to get in a car accident than a...
But we're more comfortable with it because we do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
do you want to read...
kind of like that sort of thing.
One of your stories?
Sure. Okay. This is one I've actually heard about before, but when you gave it to me. This says, San Francisco is poised to ban plastic straws. That's got bubble tea shops worried.
Yeah, I'm very interested in your opinion about this because I know you have... I feel like you will have an opinion.
Yeah, I do. I have multiple opinions. So I really like boba. I got boba today because I was with my friend who really likes it. So we went and got boba.
It's very tasty.
It is. I've had a lot of it. I'm almost starting to get sick of it, but I do like it.
So the thing is, I saw this headline and I immediately thought, you know, that's a good point because the unique thing about bubble tea, and we usually go and get smoothies.
Uh-huh.
Because
we don't drink tea
or coffee.
Sometimes I'll get
different
other things. But
and there's other types of drinks, but all of them come in a plastic cup that's like got a sealed lid.
Yeah.
And then you take the fat straw and you poke it through the lid, and then you're able to suck up all the stuff through the straw. And it's like tapioca pearls, sometimes it's like little globs of aloe jelly.
Or
flan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it really doesn't work without a straw. Like other types of drinks, like you can drink a Coke without a straw. You don't need a straw.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work without
a
straw.
Yeah, you suck it through the straw, and the straw is a certain size to where the boba goes through it. It's like a thicker one.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun because they kind of go through like a, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a specific type of thing where the straw is part of the experience.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of pushes to ban plastic straws. Another thing really quick that I think I've heard a lot of people who don't seem to understand this, why plastic straws are being banned. So, you know, it was in the news because Starbucks said they were getting rid of straws, phasing them out and stuff. And all these people were like, oh, you're getting rid of a straw, but you still have those plastic for cups. And like the cups are like straws are only like 0.2% of the plastic in the world or whatever it was. And a lot of people were really hating on it and saying like, oh, that's so stupid. Like, why do straws even matter? So it's not really about the amount of plastic. I mean, you probably realize this. It talks a little bit about the article. Yeah. It's not really about the amount of plastic. It's about the shape and size of straws.
Right.
Because they're a lot more likely to get caught in like different... They, for one thing, they're too small to be recycled a lot of the time. But also it's that they get like caught in certain things in the environment or like swallowed by animals or stuff like that. So it's really not about... Oh, like Starbucks is like people are all hating on it and saying like, oh, you're still using plastic cups and that's way more plastic. It's about the size. That's a lot of the big problem there. And it is good, I think, in general, that they're getting rid of plastic straws. So
yeah, and I know this isn't really the point at all, but it seems like what they ought to get rid of are like the wrappers around straws. I find wrappers around straws kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Because you always just... They just create unnecessary trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Especially with boba straws, they always have the plastic wrappers.
Yeah.
But I mean, they can at least... I feel like it's not the same... Yeah, I don't know. And it says, straws are... For the boba fans, straws an integral part of the experience. And they're all talking about how you need a straw to suck it up. So they start to talk about different... solutions to this already, which is why I think they'll... My overall view of it is that I think they will... I think it is a problem, but I don't really have a lot of doubts that they'll... I think they'll find a way to fix it. Like, I think they'll find a solution. It says they talk about... They are supposed... There's ones that are supposedly compostable, but they're not allowing those. So there are different... some people started to do paper straws, but they were saying they're really expensive and they have to cut the sharp point by hand.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
I
don't really like paper straws. There's a weird feel to them.
Yeah, I think that's true. I do think with all the emphasis on straws lately, I really think there's going to be a lot more solutions coming up soon that people are going to invent.
I have seen like some places have biodegradable plastic straws. And those seem fine. I'm sure they're much more expensive, but they seem fine.
Yeah. I think they're saying with this one, it sometimes passes through composting too because it's still too small. So they're not really necessarily allowing them in all these bans. And then... So paper ones don't work quite as well. And then they were... So what they were saying here was recommending... metal straws. So like reusable ones.
Have you ever used a metal straw?
I have not.
I haven't either. It seems like it'd be a pain to clean.
I've used cups that have like a plastic straw. It's just like a sippy cup, sort of. I mean, they have kids ones like that.
Yeah. They always seem like a pain to clean when you used them when I was a kid.
But boba... When you were a kid. Yeah. I think metal boba straws would definitely maybe be an option. Maybe if you're dining in, you could use one of the reusable metal ones. And then if you're taking it to go, you could use a plastic. I don't know.
You can have or not a plastic. Personal one. Round.
Yeah. Or maybe if you're to go and you don't have a personal one, you could use like a paper one. But I just think I do think that it's an issue. But I'm not doubting that it's an issue they'll find a solution to is my main thing on that. And it did say at the end, I thought this was cute. It says... still some environmentally conscious boba consumers like 10-year-old Alice, I don't know how to say her last name, 10-year-old Alice says all the effort is worth it. Our world is in big danger right now because of plastic, so paper is probably better, she says. Go Alice.
Way to go, Alice.
Alice is great. She is 10 years old. So they're still waiting for a signature on it, but I really think, like it's just one of those things where they'll just have to find a solution to it, and I think they will. So that's my views on that.
Hopefully they will, because
I think we're really going to see a lot of drinks. I think we're going to see a lot of straw alternatives in the future, like a lot more.
Yeah,
I think people are already... It's a big problem, and usually when there's a problem like that, people tend to just find solutions. And I think people are going to work on more. We're going to start seeing a lot more different materials that are being made. That are biodegradable, but still don't dissolve as quickly and stuff like that. So I think it will be solved. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do it, though. If they use different approaches and stuff.
I've got a story out of Japan. A Japanese startup is offering an unusual service for newlyweds to celebrate their love, launching wedding plaques into space.
Hmm.
Warp Space, a firm founded by faculty members from the University of Tsubaka, is offering a service that will print titanium plaques with the names of the newlyweds and load them onto a series of small cubes that each hold a few hundred of the plaques. The cubes will then be released into space by the crew of the International Space Station, and couples will be presented with photos snapped by the astronauts. Guess how much the service costs to have your wedding plaque
$12.
Etched in titanium and launched from the International Space
Station. Oh, etched in titanium. Maybe more than $12.
I think it's going to be more than $12.
$200.
$200 is not far off. $270.
Okay.
It will officially open. The service will officially open July 29th, which was a few days ago, so it's already happened, at the Super Bridal Fair at the Okura Frontier Hotel Tsukuba. Tsukuba, I looked it up, is north of Tokyo. It's in the Ibaraki Prefecture, in case you're wondering. You know, it seems like if this were going to be appropriate, that about 50% of these cubes will come crashing down to Earth in a giant fireball.
Oh, no. Maybe only if they get divorced.
Yeah.
You know...
Would you be interested in having your wedding plaque launched into space?
Not really. You know, I kind of feel like maybe this is, I don't really have any like basis for this, but I sort of feel like just launching random crap into space is something that like in the future we're really going to regret.
You are causing space.
Yeah.
Space
and
junk.
I feel like that's definitely one of those
space
things
litter.
That, you know, like there's all sorts of things we used to do now that we're like, oh, we really shouldn't have done that. That like killed the environment or like. We kind of regret. I feel like we're going to start seeing negative repercussions and realize that that's bad.
I mean, have none of these people seen the movie Gravity? Have you seen the movie Gravity?
No. It freaked me out.
So it's Sandra Bullock as an astronaut, and that's what happens at the beginning of it, is her spaceship gets hit by space junk.
Yeah. I just feel like we're suddenly going to realize that, ooh, space junk is kind of, like when we start getting more into space.
It's already a problem, actually.
Yeah, like, but it's going to be...
There's
I feel
a lot
like
of it sort of orbiting up there, and sometimes it causes problems.
I feel like we're going to very, very soon be looking at that and going like, oh, that was a terrible idea, and we need to not do that.
It does kind of seem like a terrible
Doesn't
idea.
That just seem like something that like decades from now we're going to be like, why were people doing that? This is causing so many problems, and there wasn't even a good reason to do it. Like, there's things like that now that like we... I mean, I think of like... I don't know. All sorts of things we did that were just not sustainable or weren't good for the planet. And now we're like, oh man, we really just shouldn't have done that. Like
perhaps,
we didn't even need to. And now I feel like that's something that like, it's so pointless anyway. That like, we're really, I feel like that's just has to be something that we're going to deeply regret.
So we have one more story. Do you want to tell us about the last story?
Sure.
I kind of liked this story. I found this story strangely heartwarming.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. It says, thief returns cash stolen from wallet with apology note. It says, an Arkansas woman's stolen cash was turned over to the police with a letter of apology from the thief who took it from her wallet. She said that her wallet and the $160 cash it contained, she left it behind at the Walmart store in Clinton when she returned home a short time later. Oh, I totally butchered that. Okay. She left her wallet and the $160 cash it contained behind at the Walmart store in Clinton. And when she returned a short time later, the wallet was still there, but the cash was gone. Then I went down to the city police and reported it. McNabb said she was surprised when the police called her Wednesday morning to say somebody had come by the station and dropped off an envelope containing $160 cash and a note. To the lady that left her wallet at Walmart... Please forgive me, as I always strive to have integrity, and that day I failed miserably, the note said. McNabb said the woman's change of heart has inspired her to spend the money on helping others. That's a good story.
I really like that. I like the idea that, you know, she was just...
That you can make a mistake.
$160, she was overcome, she snatched it, and then she had a change of heart and said, you know what, it doesn't belong to me, I need to give it back.
I really like the idea that she can make a mistake, but instead of just like... letting it lead to more mistakes, she can own up to it and strive to do better and make it right.
And she gave
like,
it
not
all
a lot
back.
Of people, not a lot of people can do that. That's hard to do when you make a mistake.
Yeah.
To
100% of the money was given back.
Yeah, own up to it, make it right, and like say that you're going to try to do better. Like that's
like
a good
that.
Thing.
I also like that the woman who had the money stolen thought, "Well, that's really good. I'm going to make sure this money is put to good use."
Yeah.
So kind of a heartwarming story, even
it's
though
good.
Because I think
I mean
a
it's
lot
not
people,
good to steal to begin with.
And you don't know what her circumstances is. Maybe she thought, you know what, I need this money for something.
She might have, she might have been in a tough situation. You never know. But yeah, no, I really don't think a lot of people might regret it. But I think very, very few people would like tell themselves, you know what, that was wrong. Go back, give it back. Like really just, yeah.
Yep. I liked that.
Awesome.
I think we're going to do a dad quiz.
Dad quiz.
That's pretty good.
So I didn't have a dad quiz when we first set out to do the podcast, but Mom volunteered to find something for us. So she has been looking. Apparently it is International Clown Week. Are you aware of this?
You must be just clowning around. I'm so sorry.
It is, in fact, International Clown Week, and apparently National Clown Day occurs every year on the Saturday of International Clown Week. So the Saturday that this podcast comes out will be International Clown Day. I'm a little confused about whether it's international or national, but apparently, let me see if I can find this. I might have to look it up again. Apparently...
How do you juggle that with so many other holidays that go on?
I lost it.
I just feel like there's so many other great holidays in July, like Pioneer Day or 4th of July, that this holiday really has some just really, really big shoes to fill.
Those are very good jokes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just making jokes while I find this quiz. I can continue.
I bet you can.
I feel like it's in the spirit of International Clown Week or national.
It is. The Clown Week was introduced. There is actually a law that was passed by Congress and signed into law. Guess which president signed this into law?
Maybe Herbert Hoover. He was kind of a clown.
It's even better than that. President Richard Nixon signed
he was also
the legislation
a clown.
For clown, National Clown Week into law in 1970.
Okay.
Actually signed it August 2nd, 1971. And it's always August 1st through 7th is National Clown Week. And traditionally, the Saturday that falls within that week.
You know, once you start making up
National Clown Day.
Once you start making up silly holidays, you just open the floodgates to all sorts of crazy holidays. Or as some would say, the water gates. That didn't even deserve that much.
I don't know. The studio audience really liked it.
Opening the water gates.
I'm not sure it deserved it either, to be honest.
It was a horrible joke. I'm just trying really hard while you find these quizzes.
So, Mom sent me a quiz. She sent me a creepy clown quiz.
I don't like that.
You want me to forward it to you? I just texted it to you. A scary clown quiz. This is only 10 questions in this trivia quiz. Let's go through them one by one. The first question. What is the technical term for fear of clowns? Do we want to do it separately and see who gets a better score?
Yeah. I don't think, but should do the...
I will read the options.
Okay.
And you don't have to tell me which one you chose until we're done. What is the technical term for fear of clowns? Bozophobia, chlorophobia, leprophobia, or clarabelphobia? Two, which Stephen King novel features a very spooky clown named Pennywise?
It's easy.
That one's pretty easy.
I feel like it might not have been easy though when...
Three.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know when
this
is from.
They just did the remake,
which character on the Rugrats is afraid of clowns? I didn't watch the Rugrats that much. I'm going to guess.
I did a little bit when I was little. I don't know this, but I do know their personalities, I guess.
Which serial killer... was also known as Pogo the Clown. I know that one. Is it John Wayne Gacy, Albert Fish, Jeffrey Dahmer, or Ted Bundy?
I know which...
The Rugrats characters were Susie, Angelica, Chucky, and Tommy, but I'm not sure that's going to help anyone. And if anyone wants to guess. Five, Emmett Kelly III was found guilty and served time in prison for what crime? Is it grand larceny, child abuse, murder, or arson? I don't know who
Emmett I'm guessing it's a
Kelly
clown.
Kelly III is. He must have been a clown. Okay, I'm going to guess. The creepy clown from the movie Poltergeist was prominently displayed in which Las Vegas hotel?
I don't know.
Number seven. Those who have a fear of clowns often say that this famous woman reminds them an awful lot of a clown. Is it Tammy Faye Baker, Barbara Streisand, Zsa Zsa Gabor, or Madonna? Eight. Which animaniac has a severe case of clown phobia, according to Dr. Scratch and Sniff?
Oh.
I don't know the anime. I've never watched anime.
I know what it is. I've never had an interest in it.
Is it Wacko, Dot, Jacko, or none of these?
I don't know.
Which of these TV shows does not have a regular clown character in it? The Simpsons, Animaniacs, In Living Color, and King of the Hill?
I barely even know what.
And
I don't
10,
know.
This was a horrible B-movie featuring murderous clowns. Killer clowns from blank blank. I think I've got a better chance of doing this.
I'm not going to do well at this.
It seems like this is a little bit of an old
I don't
quiz,
even know
so.
What to guess on this one. I'm going to say South Australia. That seems like a place where there'd be clowns.
All right.
Okay, do we
want to
read through?
Answers.
Oh, I was going to say we could read through our answers. Okay.
All right, so the answer to the first one. What was is a technical term for fear of clowns. Did you get this one right?
Nope. I said leprophobia.
It's chlorophobia.
Leprophobia. That was my second guess.
I can't remember what leprophobia is.
I think
but
it's something
else.
But
I think it's snakes. I think it's fear of snakes.
I knew it sounded familiar.
Two is which Stephen King novel is obviously It.
Yeah, I got that one right.
Which character from the Rugrats is afraid of clowns? I guessed and got it right.
Oh, I guess Tommy. Chucky was my second choice,
I guessed
though.
Chucky, and that was the right answer. Number four, which serial killer was also known as Pogo the Clown? Do you know this one?
Yes, this one and got it right. John Wayne Gacy,
yeah. He would also paint clowns from his prison cell. Very creepy. Emmett Kelly III was found guilty of, I guessed, grand larceny. The answer was murder.
I guessed child abuse, which is pretty dark, but yeah.
and
got it wrong.
He was the grandson of the original Emmett Kelly, who took over the clown persona of Weary Willie after his father. His real name was Paul, not Emmett, and he was also known by another clown named Papa. Never heard of any of that.
The creepy clown from the movie Poltergeist was prominently displayed in which Las Vegas hotel? I had no idea, so I said the clown hotel.
Well, there is a clown hotel, I think, on outskirts of Las Vegas. And I originally put that, but then I changed it to Circus Circus.
Did you remember?
Which, I've only been to Las Vegas once, and it was when I was a kid. Mm. And I remember going to Circus Circus.
Oh, really?
Which was kind of sketchy at the time, but they had like a buffet in the basement. And we ate at the Circus Circus buffet that was really cheap, and it was like a whole bunch of food. They also had like, you know, circus performers kind of in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Sketchy. Yeah. Pretty sketchy, but kind of fun when you're a kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Those who have a fear of clowns often say that this famous woman reminds them an awful lot of a clown. Did you get this one right?
I said Zsa Zsa. I didn't know.
Tammy Faye Baker, who was married to a televangelist in the 80s, and she had really thick makeup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you grew up in the 80s, you'd be more likely to get that one right. The
Animaniac
one. Answer.
I said Jacko. It was Wacko.
It was Wacko. I had
I didn't
no idea.
Know.
No idea. I guessed Dot.
Yeah.
Which of the TV shows does not feature a regular clown?
No, I said In Living Color.
It was King of the Hill.
I knew The Simpsons and Animaniacs did.
I knew that there was an In Living Color clown, too.
Really? I don't know what In Living Color is, actually.
It was kind of like...
I know all the other ones,
kind
of.
It was
a
comedy show where most of the cast was black. But it was also where Jim Carrey got his start. It was like a sketch comedy show that was on Fox.
Oh, okay.
And then it was the B-movie was Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
South Australia.
outer space. I got 8 out of 10. I actually did pretty okay.
2 out of 10. I had no idea.
But a lot of those were pop culture questions that you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, like there was no... I'm really surprised I didn't get Killer Clowns from South Australia.
Yeah. So that was our dad quiz on creepy clowns. Dad
quiz. That's pretty good.
There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So Phoebe came up with a treat for treat
yourself
this year.
Yes, I'm super excited. So
she drove herself to the local grocery store because she now has Kroger. A license. And found something there that is new to our local Kroger.
Yes, so our local Kroger, which is like whatever grocery store you have where you live. It's like Smith's or
It's a nice big whatever. Grocery store.
Yeah, it's a good one, but it's just like whatever. They have a new like it's not like super fancy though. It's not like going to like Whole Foods or Market Street or somewhere where I would kind of expect this. They have a new self-service like mochi ice cream thing.
Yeah, and I had seen this before. Actually, Whole Foods has these and has had them for a while.
I didn't know
Kroger had them.
And it says Mimo.
So if you don't know, mochi is, to get really technical, it's what it is pounded glutinous rice that you pound until it's really chewy. Comes from Japan. It's a traditional food in Japan. In fact, it's a traditional thing to do like at the New Year to take glutinous rice and they put it into this big, it's like a big pestle and they pound it with a big mallet and everyone takes turn pounding it and they make mochi. But it's very chewy rice, a very chewy rice product. But mochi ice cream is where you take the mochi
and you put ice cream
in the middle of it. And it's really tasty. If you've never had mochi ice cream before, I recommend it.
Less technically, I explain it to people as like being a cross between, it's made with rice flour, so it tastes kind of like rice, sweet rice. Like a cross between a gumdrop and a marshmallow texture-wise.
Yeah, it's very chewy. Usually when you buy it commercially, it's really soft and chewy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So they had this one. They had 10 flavors. I got 4 to try. They were kind of expensive.
Yeah, they are a little expensive when you buy them from the self-serve thing. Sometimes if you go to Asian grocery stores, you can find them and you'll get like a package of... like 6 for $5 or something. So they're not quite as expensive.
Yeah, these were 3 for $2.
Yeah.
No, 2 for $3.
Yeah. I got like... So like $1.50 each.
So it was like $12 for me to get. I got 4 flavors and I got 2 of each. But
we have some mochi ice cream.
Yes. So... And oh, I have to say, by the way, the first thing I thought when I... One of the first things I thought when I saw these is that this is a big upgrade from when I was like 11 and all my friends would walk to Kroger to get the little self-serve milkshake machine.
Yeah.
We used to have it, and it was like the thing to
do.
No, they don't.
I think the convenience store still has it.
Yeah, the convenience store has it. But it was like the thing to do is go get milkshakes. Now they have these mochi ice cream things. Like, I don't know. This is fancy.
I think there's very little chance we won't like these and think they're delicious because we love mochi ice cream.
I will say, we just cut them into pieces. It looks like, this is my just first thoughts looking at them. It looks like the mochi layer is pretty thin, which is... I feel like I might be a little disappointed by
it. It's mostly ice cream.
It's mostly ice cream.
Isn't necessarily a bad thing, but there's not a ton of
mochi. Yeah, but I wish... I mean, looking at it now, it might be really good, but I am, just from looking at wishing it was a thicker layer of mochi.
So you get more chew.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll see. So what 4 flavors did you pick?
Okay, we have mint chocolate chip, coconut pineapple, sweet mango, and
cookies and cream, I believe, is the
4th one.
Okay, which one should we try first?
Let's start with cookies and cream.
All right, you want to hand me one?
Yeah, I believe this is... Oh, they're getting melty.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso. Yeah.
Is there really any question?
I almost think we should eat these all at once so they don't melt.
I know. We got to get on it. Cookies and cream was very good. I think
it's tasty.
These are all going to be good. I think the question is like ranking them.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to just eat them and talk about the best? Sure.
So we're going to do mango next.
All right.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
A little disappointed. It's delicious, but I kind of hoped it would be a little bit better.
Oh, really?
The mango flavor. I'm very particular about mango.
Hmm. I think it's just as good, if not better, than the cookies and cream.
It is really good. I've tasted better mango creamy ice cream flavor before.
High expectations for mango ice cream.
I love mango ice cream. But it is really delicious.
All right. Next is the mint chocolate chip. I might be going out on a limb here, but I'm going to say it's... Oklahoma! It's not my favorite.
I still think it's delicious. I don't know
if chocolate chip is the right flavor for mochi ice cream.
No, I still think it's... I guess I know what you're saying.
You still think it's...
Yum, 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 yum,
yeah.
Yum. Delicioso.
But definitely a weaker. It's not the highest quality. Yeah, it's a little... Maybe not the best. And the mint chocolate chip ice cream isn't the best mint chocolate chip ice cream I've ever had.
I mean,
had.
It's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I would eat it if someone gave it to me. I probably
but
it
might,
too much of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you might be right that it's weaker than the other two. And then the last one is coconut pineapple, which might be interesting. I don't know.
It sounds good. What do you think?
That one's really good. I really like that one. I might like that
yum,
one the best.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
It is good. It is good. These are all good.
What do you think? Ranking?
I think I liked the mango the best. I think I liked the coconut pineapple the second, the cookies and cream, and then the mint chocolate chip.
Okay, I think, yeah, mint chocolate chips at the bottom. And then I think it's kind of close between the cookies and cream and mango. I think the mango is better than the cookies and the cream, but I just hoped the mango would be just a little bit better than it was. But I just have very high...
Yeah, it has to do with your expectations.
Yeah, I think of like a nice mango paletta or like a mango lassi.
But you liked them all?
Yeah, but then, so mint chocolate chip, cookies and cream, mango, and then the coconut pineapple is really good. I really liked that one. That was solid.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So Kroger is a big national chain, but depending on where you live, they call it something else.
Smith's is, I think, isn't Smith's?
I'm kind of looking it up.
The same thing?
Smith's?
I think it's the same thing.
Might be.
Or it might be Albertsons. I don't know. Smith's might be Albertsons. I don't know.
I'm looking it up. To see what they are in different places. Wikipedia has something. Chains, here we go. It's the same as Dillon's, Fry's, Harris Teeter, JC, King Supers, which is what they have in Colorado where our cousins live. Kroger, of course, Mariano's, QFC, Ralph's, which is what they have in Southern California.
Okay.
Roundy's. Smith's. It is the same as Smith's in Arizona, Idaho, Montana, Nevada.
That's what I was
thinking.
New
Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. They're also associated with Fred Meyer stores.
Very weird to me that...
Food for Less.
That they have all the different names for it. Why wouldn't they just all be the same name?
Well, I think what happened was Kroger kind of took over lots of different regional grocery stores. And they wanted to keep kind of people's loyalty.
Yeah, like
so they kept the name.
Buy the different ones.
At your local version of your Kroger grocery store, look for these. They're like in a little like ice cream freezer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can just pick out which ones you like and put them in a plastic container.
They have little like tongs.
Is there a brand of them or
it's Mimo?
Mimo.
Yep. And we'll post a picture. MYMO.
MYMO.
I don't know if they're everywhere, but this is pretty cool.
Yeah, check it out. It's really tasty. Really good.
It kind of markets itself as like a ice cream. What does it say? I took a picture and sent it to you so we could use it for the podcast of the little station. It says Mochi Ice Cream Bar. So it's almost advertising itself as like an ice cream bar. They had 10 flavors at ours. And yeah, you can like just use the tongs to pick out. It almost looks like a bulk candy thing, but in a like a freezer thing.
Yeah, it's really good. Or you could go to Japan and eat it there because they also have it in
Japan. Or your Asian grocery store where it's probably cheaper and possibly better. But there are some other flavors that I wanted to try. There was like a butter pecan and a chocolate and a...
Butter pecan does sound good.
Yeah. There was a strawberry. There was a couple that sounded... And then there was a green tea and coffee, but we're not really into that. But those were tasty. I really enjoyed that.
That was really good.
I think it might be better if...
Hard to go wrong.
If the mochi filling was like 10 to 20% thicker. If that part... Although some of them had thicker bottoms.
Though. Yeah, it's not too bad.
I think
bad.
It was thicker on bottom for a lot of
them. It's not uniformly thick all the way around.
Some of them,
the bottom is a little more chewy.
Well, some of them were better than others for me. There was a couple where it was just not... I didn't get quite as much of that chew as I wanted.
Yeah. But you really like mochi.
I really like mochi.
You even like the ones that have red bean paste
in
them.
I love that. That's probably possibly one of my favorite types of mochi is the red bean paste ones, which I feel like a lot of people don't like.
It's really popular in Japan, but I think it's much more controversial here because people here aren't used to having
sweet beans. Oh, I love red bean. It's like sweet... Yeah, it's like sweet bean paste, and it's so... I really like it.
Yeah.
So I love red bean mochi. Very I've gotten good. A lot for my birthday before.
All right. Well, that is our treat yourself, and that is our podcast. So thank you, Phoebe, for doing the podcast with me tonight.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can stream all of our episodes from the very beginning. And if you want to do something to help out the podcast, the best thing you can do is you can go on to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and give us a 5-star review. If you review, rate, and subscribe, that really helps us out to get the word out for people who may be looking for a fun podcast to listen to with their family. So we appreciate that. All of you who have left 5-star reviews, we very much thank you. And, you can also tell a friend if there's someone you know who's looking for a podcast. If you are going on a family vacation or someone is going on a family vacation, it's always good to listen to podcasts in the car. So this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time.